Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tonight, my co-host is Michael P. McCarthy.
Happy to be with you.
How are you, Mickey?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to the Maryland Irish Festival coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one,
I know.
Too, Mike.
You'd really be excited because it's cold here now.
I saw, we were talking to a client the other day, and they had a wood-burning stove going in the background. And I was like, man, what is it, really cold up there?
It's snowing at Deep Creek right now.
No way.
Yeah, that's what I saw on my way in.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you're getting close to that. I think I remember having a snow flurry, at least in early November. So, or late October, actually, once, I think. So, yeah, you could have it, couldn't you? So,
yeah.
Anyway, this isn't the actual warmest area of Florida where I'm at. Well, our temperature was like 45 degrees this morning when I got up. So it got up to 65 during the day. And tomorrow we're going back to 60s and 70s. So that's pretty nice.
Public service announcement. Don't forget to put newspaper over your mums.
Why would I do that?
Not you, up here, the people, most of the people listening in Maryland.
Why do you have to put them over your mums? Are they going to get enough frost tonight?
It frosted last night. It's going to frost again tonight.
Oh, wow. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Michael. An open show means that our listeners are our guests. They get to direct the conversation of the show tonight. They can talk about anything they want, be it 401ks, be it Roth conversions, Roth IRAs.
Company benefits.
Company benefits, Medicare, Social Security. There's all kinds of things to talk about.
Taxes is our favorite.
Income taxes are our favorite. We do this show to help you and to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do. If you don't get this type of advice on a day-to-day basis from your advisor, you have to question, do I truly have a professional financial advisor? So, the way to call in is 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. While we're waiting for people to call in, Mike, this is the time of year where you make your decision as to whether you want to keep your Medicare Drug D plan. This is the time that you can switch every year in this October to late November time frame. You can research your drug plan, and it's important for you to research your drug plan if you're on Medicare Part D.
And especially if your medications have changed in the prior year.
Well, not only that, Mike, but even if your medications haven't changed, the companies that do the payments, the drug plan, they have what's called a formulary. In other words, they have every single drug in the possibility that could be prescribed to you, payable by Medicare, and they have a dollar amount that you're going to get from each one of those. And your drugs could not change at all, but they could have changed the formulary on your drug, and next thing you know, you go from paying $2 to paying $52. It's not uncommon. That's why you should check, but you're absolutely right. If your prescriptions have changed and you've got new ones or you took away old ones or whatever, you should research, and you know how to do that, right? Right, Mikey?
Well, I was actually, as you were talking, I was typing, trying to look up the Medicare.gov /plan compare is one place.
Yep,
but I feel like is that your
that's
spot
it.
To go?
Medicare.gov plan compare. You just do Medicare.gov, and there's usually, if I'm not mistaken, there's usually one of the first things that comes up. It says research drug plans, search drug plans, or something like that. And what you do is you just say, are you on? Now, if you're on Medicare Advantage, you don't need to do this. You only do this if you're on original Medicare with Medicare D and you have a prescription drug plan. So, like, I personally have WellCare, and I researched it, and nothing changed, and so I'm still on WellCare for 2023 now. But you should always do this search in this time of year. And if you don't know how to do it, there's a great community service called SHIP, Senior Health Insurance Plan or Program, Senior Health Insurance Program. Every county in the state of Maryland or wherever you live in the country, every area of the country has a SHIP program, Senior Health Insurance Program, to help seniors figure out what to do with their Medicare drug plans or with their Medigap plans, et cetera, et cetera. So just look up SHIP on Google, and I'm sure you'll find their phone number. If you need help, it's all free, and the counselors there will help you through it at this point in time. So anyway, Michael, we're on an open show tonight. No one's on the line, right?
Well, you who's listening and thinking about calling, you might be the next caller or the first caller. So. Well,
our phone number here is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, maybe you have a question about Social Security. When should I take Social Security? Or what happens? What happened here? Why is this happening, et cetera, et cetera?
We're good at small business questions, too, you know, local small businesses.
Well, that's actually our favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, we were just talking before we went on the show about this new paid leave act that's coming, and you know, different strategies of how to handle it.
The state of Maryland is so stupid. It's no wonder that I left the state, because the politicians and the things they come up with just drive me crazy. So anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show tonight. We'll take anybody's call and answer any questions that you might have. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you have a question. Anybody online, Mike?
Nobody online.
What are we doing? We must be boring.
I think it was the weather talk. We lost everyone when we were talking about the weather.
And then we started talking about the weather. They all disappeared, and they said, these guys are boring. I'm not going to listen to them anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, it might have gotten more interesting because, you know, I almost ran over our break because I got so worked up talking about that new leave law.
Yeah, for small business owners like, you know, the consulate and many other companies, you know, this Family Leave Act is just ridiculous. It's just insane. You know, these goody-two-shoe people who say, you know, this is for the good of the country. This is for the good of this and the good of that. And everybody's got good, you know. But all they really care about is votes. And it was a way to say to women and to men, you know, hey, if you're a childbearing age, you know, we're going to take care of you and we're going to get you some money out of these freeloaders, business owners. How much probably have the business owner probably has to throw some money into that payroll too, don't they?
Yeah, both do. Now, I'll say that right now we have some information about this thing, but we don't have enough details for people to really bite into.
We had already been doing this for our employees.
Right.
You know, and actually, I don't even think their plan is, and we weren't charging our employees anything for it either, you know?
Right.
We were just doing it.
Right.
And now they're going to have to pay for it. So, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, let's stick to the planning type of stuff. But we've got our first caller and our only caller on the lines, Lou in Baltimore. How can we help?
Hello, Drew.
Hey, how you doing, Lou?
Good. I got a question for you about Medicare. I'm 63, and I got a couple of years to go before I enrolled or it's enrolled for me. The supplemental plans that you've been discussing, what should I look for and what are the good plans out there? I heard Mutual of Omaha has a good plan. I've heard some different things.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you work for a big employer that's going to give you retiree health care?
Federal government.
You work for the federal government?
Yeah.
So you don't need a supplemental plan. It'll come from the federal government.
I'm not sure of that.
I know for a fact it is. You have a FERS pension?
Yes.
Then you've got a retiree federal health care plan, and it will pay everything that Medicare doesn't pay.
Okay.
So you can get.
I still had to have a supplemental.
No. The supplemental will be, and actually in your case, it gets a little more complicated because you're going to carry the same health insurance plan that you currently have into retirement.
Oh, see, I love my health care plan. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield. I've always liked it.
You're going to have that exact same plan going into retirement. And now the only decision you have to make is, do I want to carry Medicare Part B when I go into retirement or not and pay for it? There's a big argument. A bunch of people say you absolutely should get Medicare B. And there's a bunch of people that say, you know, I'm not necessarily sure you should get Medicare B.
But can you briefly tell me what the advantages are of having that?
Well, Medicare B pays for doctors, okay? So that's the thing to understand about Medicare B. You will get Medicare A. That's the one you've been paying for with your payroll every week since you've worked since you were, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. You've been paying into the Medicare A program. So there's no more that you have to pay when you retire.
Okay.
So Medicare A you get for free. You're going to automatically sign up for that at age 65. But Medicare B is for doctors. Now that one you have to pay $170 a month unless you make a lot of money. Are you single or married?
I'm divorced.
Well, that's single then, right?
Right.
That's a new category. I'm divorced. how much do you think you make a year? Do you make $100,000? Do you make in retirement? I should say. Do you
in
think
retirement,
you'll be?
I'll probably be making about maybe 80 to 90,000 a year.
Right. So in that ballpark, you're going to probably only be paying about $170 a month for Medicare Part B. Okay. Now,
okay.
Here's the deal. $170 a month is $2,000 a year. So there are people that argue you should take Medicare Part B. That way, if you ever have a medical bill with doctors, you're not going to pay a nickel for it. Well, the question you have to ask yourself is, well, my federal health insurance plan's automatically going to pay for a lot of that doctor's bills. So let's say I have...
I had triple bypass this past March, and I'll tell you what, I was so happy to have my health insurance.
How much did you end up paying?
Total, I think it was maybe $5,000 or $6,000, but the total bill was over $50,000.
Right, but you know, what part of that was for doctors? What part of that was for hospitals? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
The hospitals would be paid for 100% between your federal health insurance and your retiree and your Medicare Part A. It's the
right.
Doctors that you have to question. Now, if the doctors came in at $3,000, then it would have been beneficial for you to have Medicare Part B because you would have paid virtually nothing. Between right. the health insurance of the government and Medicare Part B, you would have paid nothing. But keep in mind, you have to pay that $2,000 or more every single year for the rest of your retirement. So you better have $2,000 in doctor's bills every year for that Medicare Part B. The other argument they make is that if the federal government ever requires you to pick up Medicare Part B, then if you don't start it at 65, they can penalize you. Now, my feeling is that
retroactive. They really? They're going to there.
Well, that would be my question, is if the government forced you to go on Medicare Part B when you didn't have to, would they not have to give you a special enrollment period with, say you've got 6 months to get on Medicare Part B, or else then we're going to start penalizing you.
Right, those
are some of the arguments quickly without, it's much too detailed to go into this show.
You're doing a community service when you tell people about, make sure that they sign up when they're 65 to get it, because I think a lot of people that are out there are confused and need.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that don't need to sign up for Medicare Part B when they're 65. For example, if you worked for a company with 50 employees and you've got health insurance and you intend to work to 75, you don't need Medicare Part B. You can wait until you're 75 to get it. So the laws are very complicated. And you're absolutely right. We need to educate people about this so they don't make any mistakes. I appreciate your call. That was a great question you had. Mike, thanks, Lou. Somebody else, but we're really running into our time here.
We're running into time. Jim, I'm going to bring you on, and then we'll bring you back after the break, okay? Jim, how can we help?
Okay, I've got an R&B question.
Go ahead.
I have an inherited IRA, take an R&B every year. I'm thinking of doing an in-kind.
Yep.
Instead of cash. Is that a smart idea? I've never done that. I was reading about it.
That's fine. What you're saying is I'm just going to take some securities out of the account instead of taking cash and selling and locking in the losses.
Yeah, risking the intraday loss. Yeah.
There's exactly. Nothing wrong with that. That's a fairly smart idea.
All right, Jim, hold on for us, and we'll be right back with more money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show tonight. We're obviously pretty boring so far because not many people are calling in. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. Mike, do we have anybody online?
Jim, I know we answered your one question, but we had to cut you off so quick. I wanted to check to see if you had any other questions before we moved on.
I just wanted to ask if there's any downside to doing the R&D in kind versus taking the cash.
The only thing that I would think about is if you needed taxes withheld, obviously you would have to sell some things to do that, right?
I have enough cash to cover it. We're talking like $13,000. R&D.
Now, so, do you give money to charity?
I have a donor advised fund already set up.
Well, donor advised fund, in my opinion, is not nearly as beneficial as qualified charitable distributions from an IRA.
Mm.
Is your donor advised fund funded to the point that you've got it funded for the next 10 or 20 years?
A substantial amount was put in back in 2017. I donated shares
from
a Fidelity fund my wife and I had, and took the ones with the highest, lowest
cost basis.
Yes, exactly.
Greatest appreciation. Yeah.
Correct.
So how much money do you think you have left in there for what you would typically give per year in charity? 2,000?
I haven't looked at it recently. I'm afraid to look at it with the down market because it is in growth stocks. It's a Vanguard donor advised fund.
Yeah, so, I mean, would you say it's 5 years, 2 years, 3 years?
I'd say maybe 5-7 years worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one thing you could, especially with down market, I would use my RMD to give money away rather than my donor advised fund, unless you need that money to live off of.
Okay. No, like I said, it's only 13 grand. That's not an issue for us. So
But you don't need to give the full thing away. You can give a couple thousand away and then take the rest.
I was thinking of in kind because it's in a bond fund, so everything's down, including bonds, especially bond funds, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to sell it at a loss. to satisfy the RMD, and I thought doing it in kind, I don't sell it, and I can just
there's
use
no
my
disadvantage
tax that I have
to it.
Other resources. To
there's
put
no
that
disadvantage.
Tax payment out.
No yep. disadvantage
well,
whatsoever.
And
we
just for the
it.
Benefit of the other the listeners that may not know this, the primary advantage that we're talking about here is that by not selling the asset to cash before moving it from one account to another, he is able to avoid any volatility like the volatility we've been having lately where some days are 3% down in a day or a single security could be down 8% in a day. So
right.
you're eliminating that risk.
Right. It would move into my taxable brokerage account.
Right. Yeah, so he's hoping for a rebound in the bond market, and if it happens, he won't lose the opportunity of it. Whereas if he took the cash out, he'd have to get it reinvested, and who knows, he could just miss that one big day, like Mike was talking about.
Right.
Anyway, we're on an open
Thank
show.
Thank you, Jim.
Good call,
Appreciate
Jim.
It.
Appreciate it. We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, who's up next, Mikey?
We got Joe in Westminster. Joe, how can we help?
Hi, Drew. Thank you very much. I have three questions, and I'll give them to you real fast, hopefully.
Okay.
One is, if you could recommend a book for me, I am a very green, first-time beginner, prospective investor. I don't know where to start. There's so much out there, and that's why I'm asking for a guide as to some book who that would be able to give me information and guidelines. And
so you're just looking for some general information about investing and so forth, right?
Yes, sir.
Mike, what's Larry Swedrow's book called?
I will look it up.
That would be a book that you're not looking to buy individual stocks and things like that. You're just looking to buy ETFs and mutual funds so that you do it wisely, right?
Oh, Drew, to be more specific, I'm thinking of having an appointment with a financial advisor, and I'd try to like to know where I stand as opposed to what that person might be throwing at me.
Well, that's a different story now, because now you're not asking about investing and so forth necessarily. You're asking about financial advisors and how to choose financial advisors.
I
right?
know somebody who just wrote a book about that.
Well, it's not finished yet. That would be my book, and it's only about 2 months away from coming public. But what's Swedrow's book called?
The Only Guide to a Winning Investment Strategy You'll Ever Need. The
yep.
way smart money invests today.
And that's that would definitely be a good one. Larry Swedrow is a very smart guy. He tries to write it in a way that the average person can understand it. But, again, Joe, always keep in mind that if you're going to hire an advisor, you should look to NAPFA and choose a NAPFA advisor who's independent and fee only. Do not, in my opinion, you should never hire a broker or an insurance agent as your financial advisor. That's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
What's your second question?
Drew, if you're dealing with a financial advisor or someone that's helping you with investments, because investments and returns is where I'm right now, like I said, without knowing a lot where I'm headed, would you deal with someone who definitely has a brick and mortar office? I would be very fearful of sending thousands of dollars to anyone over the phone to invest for me.
Well, we deal with clients over the entire country. We even have clients in two countries in the world.
U.S. citizens, if the SEC is listening.
U.S. citizens that are in other countries in the world right now. And, it's really not about brick and mortar and going in and feeling the flesh and so forth. In today's world of high technology, you can get a great feel for somebody via Zoom, via FaceTime, things of that sort. So
but
that's my opinion.
I want to offer Joe a slightly different opinion. What I think is important that Joe is keen to is there's a lot of fraud out there.
Exactly.
So, yep.
I'm a kind of person who I get better gut feelings if I'm with the person talking to them in their office.
So there's no doubt in my mind that unless you live in Nome, Alaska, there's a NAPFA advisor somewhere within driving distance of you.
Yeah, but to give you a good example, Mike, there were two advisors, brick and mortar, in Westminster that were prosecuted by the state security commissioner.
I said NAPFA.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying, just because it's brick and mortar, that doesn't do anybody any favor.
But you know, depending on your situation, you know, a NAPFA advisor might be a right choice that maybe you can get a, you know, face-to-face encounter if you're looking to. But if you can't get that, what I would then urge you to do is make sure you work with an organization that has a pristine record. You know, yep. Charles Schwab and Company, you know, depending on the level of assets you're working with, you know, they've got great options. And they have brick and mortar that if you really want to go in and, you know, knock on the door, you can do it.
And T. Rowe Price, I guess.
T. Rowe? Yeah.
T. Rowe's a fine company. Nothing wrong with them. And would you have a third question, or was that it?
You're correct. Yes, a third and last one is this. Having listened to quite a few financial shows, I heard on one of them about short-term investments in treasury bills or bonds, like for 3 or 4 months, with a guaranteed return of like 6, 7, 8%. Can you speak on that at all?
Well, there aren't any treasury bonds other than I-bonds. The I-bond has a yield up in the 7, 8% range. But the 3 month bill is only paying about 4% right now, so it's not 6, 7. But the I bond will do that for you. The I bond, though, you do have to hold for at least 1 year, if not 5 years, to get that rate of return. So be careful.
I definitely heard them say for 3 months or 4 month term. Does that make any sense?
No.
If it's a corporate bond, yes. But if it's a treasury, no. 4% is the highest yield right now. 4.1, 4.5% is the most you're going to get on a treasury right now. All right, I got to run, Joe. Good
Thanks,
question.
Thanks, Joe. Great questions. All
We're
right.
We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on the last quarter hour of the show. We're on an open show, and Mikey says we have callers now.
We have callers, but before we go to the callers, our last caller had a request that I repeat the name of that book. So the most important thing to remember is Larry Swedroe, S-W-E-D-R-O-E. He has a couple books out, but the book I believe Drew was referring to is The Only Guide to a Winning Investment Strategy You'll Ever Need. And it keeps going on, but if you get that into a search bar, you're going to come up with it.
Yep. Larry Swedroe.
Larry
okay,
Swedroe.
Let's go.
All right, let's go to Dave in Baltimore. Dave, how can we help?
Yeah, I'd like to say about the I-bond. I understand the interest rate changes every 6 months, right?
That is correct.
They do, and it's good for 6 months. And there, you have to invest at least $10,000, right?
No, that's the max you can invest, but that's not the minimum you have to invest.
What's the minimum?
I think it's $1,000, if I'm not mistaken.
I can try to look that up, but
So it's 10,000 is the maximum.
10,000.
I believe you can buy I bonds in $1,000 denominations.
That's 10,000 a year, right?
10,000 a year per person. So if you're married, you can buy 10 and your spouse can buy 10.
Right.
$25.
$25 I bond.
Only electronic.
Only electronic.
$25.
So one of the problems with the I bond is you've got to set up a Treasury Direct account.
Right.
And some people have just done it very easily and have had no problem, but other people have had an absolute nightmare trying to get through the Fed ID Verify. And it's where you got to take your driver's license and you got to text it and you got to scan your face.
Which of these cars have you bought and loaned on?
Which of these cars? Yeah, you got to answer security questions. And if you get anything wrong, then they say, oh, you got to write to us. And then we'll consider setting up an account to you.
So you got to set up the Treasury account, right? To buy them.
Yep.
I see. $25. Somebody that invests, an investor.
Nope.
Somebody. No. I-bonds are strictly done directly with the federal government. It's like buying E-bonds, double E-bonds.
Oh, I see.
I-bonds and E-bonds are bought from Treasury Direct.
You used to be able to go to banks, but that's ended.
That's no longer.
The banks don't do it anymore. All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Good call. Good question.
All right. We're still on open show. We got a little bit of show left, 410-922-6680. But without further ado, let's go to Rebecca in Pennsylvania. Rebecca, how can we help?
Yeah, hi. I did my dance because once it gets dark, I can't get your show. But I did my dance and it came in and I didn't hear everything. So there was something going on with NAFTA, and he was going to invest his money, but there were two people in Westminster that wasn't qualified or something. I mean, I didn't get all of it. So please, I'm really.
No, I said that there were a couple people in Westminster who had brick-and-mortar shops that the Maryland Securities Commissioner and I think even the SEC stepped in and dealt with. One of them, I believe, was a Ponzi scheme.
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
One of the advisors was actually in taking the money and sending it off to a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm just saying that, just because somebody's local doesn't mean that they're a good advisor, and you could go in there and get great feels and vibes from them, but it doesn't guarantee anything.
So
Mike said, you go to the SEC records and look them up and see, do an advisor search or a broker search on the SEC and FINRA websites, talk around
website?
To other people. What's that?
I'm sorry, you said the FCC website?
Securities and Exchange Commission website. What is that, Mikey? It's the
SEC, I think.
Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. That would be SEC.gov.
Yeah, and they have, or you can just do a Google search.
If you want to go on Google to research an advisor, you want to go to, if they're a registered investment advisor like us, you go to Advisor Check. And if they're a broker-dealer like a Morgan Stanley or one of those other ones, Wells Fargo, you'd go to Broker Check.
What about if they're a lawyer? Is that's another?
Well, it's automatic. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not aware of any. I mean, you could go to the Bar Association, right, and look to see if there was anything there, but I've never done that.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
But that's I would have to go to Carroll County Bar Association. It wouldn't just be Maryland, or would it just be Maryland?
Maryland.
I'm God.
Well, you're in Pennsylvania, though.
Yes, but my money's invested. My late husband, did stuff in Maryland, so there's stuff going on in Maryland. I mean, I just.
It doesn't matter where your money's invested if it's with a Maryland. You're a Pennsylvania resident. Your money is invested under Pennsylvania rules and regulations.
But I will tell you, there was when they set up the trust fund, I'm not going to name the lawyer, but anyway, he was convicted of a crime. And I've always been queasy after this. I mean, I remember this.
Okay. So is there a trustee of your trust?
I'm the only trustee of the trust.
Okay. And you're the only beneficiary right now, too, right?
Yes.
So the trust would be situs in Pennsylvania, So Pennsylvania law would dictate that trust.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying you're wrong, but I've been fighting that, and they said to me it originated in Baltimore City, and that's where they keep doing it.
No. That's baloney. You tell them there's no nexus between you and Baltimore City anymore. The trustee's not in Baltimore anymore, not in Maryland anymore. The beneficiary's not in Maryland anymore. And boom, you're out of Maryland.
I'll tell you, Drew, if your wife ever dies, you come and live with me, okay?
Right. We'll do that.
Okay. Promise. All right, bye.
Promises.
All right,
promises.
Bye, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
All right. Anyway, Mikey, we don't probably have any. Do you have
we
another
got one
call?
We want to try to squeeze
All right,
it in?
Go ahead.
All right. Pam in Pasadena, how can we help?
Hi. I have a 401k, and our company recently just added an option of a annuity. And the company came and spoke to us about it, and they said that it's a lot less percentage than if you were to purchase it somewhere else other than within that fund. And I'm wondering, is that a good idea to do?
Well, without seeing it, I can't say. But normally, I don't care. You know, we have the ability to buy no load, no commission annuities with lower costs. Okay, but even the ones that we can buy are still expensive. You know, and if you read Swedro's book, and you know, we were talking about earlier, his number one point is keep your fees down. Okay, make sure you don't pay excessive fees for what you're getting and so forth. And annuities, bare minimum, is going to be 2% plus. And the typical investment in like ETFs and index funds are going to be under 0.1%. So, I mean, you're talking about a 1.9% differential at the very bare minimum. So annuities typically are not great investments. They're great for the people who sell them. They're great for the insurance companies who produce them. But they're not always great investments. But with that said, we have had situations where we have clients where we think it's the best thing for them. It's rare, but because of their personality, it works for them. It gives them a sense of comfort, and that works. That's what it takes.
I mean, you got to think of what people value. If absolute security, you're willing to pay for it, then that might be good for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, but. Okay. I'd be very careful about the annuities being offered. If you showed it to me, I could give you a better clarity on that. All right?
Okay. Well, maybe I'll do that sometime.
Well, thank you,
so
Pam.
Much.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Well, that was a great show, sir.
Yes. I mean, it was a little slow at the beginning, Mikey, but it picked up over time.
Well, let's tell everybody that's still listening that next time we start around 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, so next week we're going to have another open show. We'll be back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are going to be just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be much better.